Thank you, Jesse, for doing that. Thank you for those prayers as well. This morning, again, I invite you to turn, if you would, to Psalm 19. When Ray gave his devotional, I was thinking, well, I think Psalm 119 is considered the middle, or very close. And I thought, well, maybe Ray's going to give him a sermon today, and I can just sit back and relax. But he didn't quite get there. But that's okay. But some of the things that he talked about in Proverbs, it also addresses some of the things that I want to talk about. And I've titled this, A Blessing of God's Word. My mind has been in many different places this week, and so I felt a little scatterbrained as I was studying and trying to get this together. And so if I sound or come across that way, you'll know why. Hopefully, I'm trusting the Spirit of God will lead and guide and help us, that what I share will be edifying, beneficial, and encouraging to you. But as I thought about the blessing of God's Word and the importance of embracing God's Word as God's Word, and because of the times we live in, and yet as I thought of that, it's always been that way. There's been this need. You can look at the history of the children of Israel. There was that need of remaining faithful and trusting what God said and obeying His word. But I think today it's even more critical when the age, the world that we live in, you know, growing up, the radio was the means of communication from the outside world. Although we didn't have a radio in our home, but the radio was there. Then TV came in and brought more of the outside world in. And then in our time, it's just progresses and progresses into electronics, and where the media is, now we carry it with us. It's with us all the time. And it's not all bad. There's a lot of good in that. There's a lot of good books. There's a lot of good teachers. There's a lot of good preachers. There's a lot of good stuff out there, information that can help us. But in all that good stuff, as some of us were talking the other day, you know, there might only be 5% of something that's not whole, that's not complete, that's not really coincides with God's Word. Am I able to pick up on that 5% and to put it aside and to understand that this isn't what God says? We can take the 95% and benefit from that. And as I thought of that, and as I look about, I'm wondering, is that 5% that is error, how relevant, how prevalent is that in our lives? How much is that affecting us? I think it's affecting us more than we realize sometimes. We take the good, and something sounds so good and so right, and yet there's a hint of error in there, and sometimes we don't pick up on it. And it has a way of penetrating and guiding us in a way that can misrepresent the truth of God's Word. Some time ago, Sam was talking about the spirit of Jezebel. And that would be a more modern term, I think, of because I don't think that's in the Bible as necessarily that term, but the idea is there. I think today the Bible would talk about a spirit of Antichrist, not necessarily the Antichrist, but a spirit of the Antichrist. And what is that? That is a controlling spirit that dominates and wants to control us. We all face that. We all deal with that in one way or another. And so I believe as we look at God's Word, as we need to hold God's Word high, as important, it is essential, it is the truth. I'm going to give you a lot of scriptures today that talk about that, that the writers, the psalmist, as I think about, and just the portion here, I want to start with verse 7 through 11 as our text. And as I think about the writer, how he must have, what was he thinking? What was he facing, experiencing? And then as you go through the Psalms, there are many different writers that wrote the book of, the book of Psalms. And many of them David wrote. And as I think of how he comes across, his expressing his desire to worship and love and praise God, it stands out. And how he's willing, and he understands God in a way that he knows God sees him. God knows what kind of person he is and the help he needs. But he cries out to ask God to help him. And it's just like he is a open book. He exposes himself before God. And as I observe that, I see a person that is that can be used of God, a person that has the joy of the Lord in his life, and a person that is interesting and a person you want to be around, that you want to hear more of. So let's read Psalm 19, 7 through 11. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. And I thought also, thinking back to my childhood, and every one of us, you think back of the time when you were saved, what brought you to salvation, and what is it that brings people to salvation today? I realize, and of course, we would say it's God's Word. That is what brings conviction. It's what God uses through the Spirit to bring us to the point of seeing our need of who we are and what we need to do. But along with that, I know that God uses people as well. And we are instrumental in God's program in this, in whatever. There's someone to talk to you, I'm sure. Probably, maybe there are those that just in reading God's Word, they are convicted and they see their need and they confess their need before God and are saved. That's possible and probably does happen. But for the most of us, I know in my case, I was young and I thought I had a lot of goals and a lot of things that I wanted to do. And they weren't really centered around God. But in these certain revival meetings, as I sat there, I was under conviction, obviously, because there was a person sitting there that observed me and knew that the Spirit of God was working on me. So afterward, I barely got out the doors, and he was on my back and confronted me. And I didn't like it very well. But anyway, we talked, we chatted, and as I reflect on that, I've often wondered why it's... my experience wasn't like some of you. I was saved right now. I knew I was saved and so on. It wasn't that way with me. I struggled for a long time. And later then, he could see, and this person actually would have been my father-in-law, except he died before I married his daughter. But that was one of his gifts of reaching out to ministering to young people, and especially boys, and trying to help them. And so he saw me, and he had a burden for me, for my soul. He could see he wasn't getting through somehow, and so he called the evangelist, and he came, and we talked and shared. And I thought I was trying to be serious. I meant to be. I believe in my heart I meant to be, but somehow I left there not really feeling saved. I guess I didn't know what it felt like. I didn't know what I was supposed to feel. But it happened many, many times. But I thank God that finally I saw the light. I know part of it was I didn't understand. But saying all that to say that it's God's word that brings conviction, and it's the Spirit's job to take that word then and to minister to our hearts and to show us what we need to do and how, and it's just so simple. It's really just so simple. If we would just do what the Word of God tells us and obey it. It has so many answers. As Solomon said, "My son, don't forget my words. Remember them." There's a reason for that. You've told your children, as parents, I'm sure you tell them, "Don't forget what I told you." There's a reason. Later in life, they will catch on. But maybe at the time, they don't. So looking at this, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. There's other... the other translations, and I didn't write those down, what they gave different ideas there. But one I do remember was converting the soul. It's making the person whole. When you are converted, you are made whole. Maybe not physically as such, but as in spiritual sense, we are made whole. Our spirit, again, is clean, and we can communicate with God in a way as the psalmist did. We don't have to hide. We don't have to be afraid. We can approach God, open hands, and allow God to speak to us and tell us what he wants to do and show us what we need to see. And then the Spirit gives us the grace to confess wherever our faults are, but to communicate and to worship God through his word. John 1:1 says, "In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God." I think one of the more important things that we have to settle within ourselves from the beginning is the fact that this is God's Word. There's no doubt. We're convinced, beyond a shadow of a doubt, this is God's Word. And it is what we will be judged by. It is what we live by. It is where we get our directions. And it's as someone has said, it's a roadmap that leads us to heaven. And it certainly and truly is that. So be convinced in your mind, no doubt. There are plenty of people in the world that will dispute and will argue and will try to convince you that part of it is and part of it isn't. Others will say that, how do you know? It was written by men. They were not perfect people. There's all kinds of arguments out there. But in your heart, be determined and believe. Have the faith that this is God's word, and you will not be changed. No one can change your mind. Psalm 119, I'm going to take a number of verses out of Psalm 119. It's a beautiful psalm. Verse 89, it says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." And then verse 160 says, "Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever." You believe that? Yeah. How long is forever? Long time. There's no limit. It's been from past to future. That's not going to change. Another verse in Mark 13 that Jesus talked about, verse 31. Jesus said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." You know, people say a lot of things, and I meant to say this earlier, when it's talking about your conversion, someone helping you, someone saying things, and so on. And in preaching, especially revival meetings, people say a lot of things. A lot of words go out, and they're good. The Spirit can take those words, but it's really the Word of God that the Spirit uses to bring us to the point of seeing our need. There's a lot of things, there's a lot of preachers, there's a lot of teachers, there's a lot of books out there telling you a lot of things. But they're going to pass away. Those are words from people. But Jesus said his words, this word, is not going to ever pass away. It will stand the test of time. 1 Peter 1:25, he says, "But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." Paul talks about the foolishness of preaching is what brings salvation and brings people hearing the word that brings people to salvation. So let's look a little more at our text here. "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." You know, when we're converted, we're new in the faith. There's a lot to learn. We have a lot to learn, a lifetime ahead of learning who God is and what God wants us to do. But as we look at the Word and we see the testimony of those that have tested, have lived, and have practiced what the Word says, it encourages us. Their testimony is a strong something to help us in our faith to make us strong as well. And the word testimony is simply a statement made to establish a fact. So when you give a testimony, you're stating you're making a statement about something that you believe already has been established. It's a fact that salvation is available. Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And when we do what the Bible says, we confess with our mouth and we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, we're saved, is what John tells us. And so that's a statement, it's a fact. And so you can bank on that. And if it says here, "That testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple." As Solomon often says, "Come, simple ones, and listen. I will give you wisdom. And I learn," and the Bible says, "Come and learn of me." Jesus talks about that. "The statutes of the Lord are right." I looked up the word statutes. I don't even see it. It's an established rule or law also. And I think in your NIV, maybe it uses the word precepts. And that is very similar. It's a rule of moral conduct. So you think of God's word, the statutes that are in God's word. It talks about a rule or a law. It's something that's been established. God established his word. And we have to go from that. And everything comes back to God's word to establish the truth. thinking of a testimony, it's always interesting to hear people's testimonies, and especially those that, even though you don't know them, maybe you've never met them, but you've heard a lot about them. And I'm thinking of Johnny Erickson Tato. Just heard her portion of what she was speaking the other evening, and I don't know, was it a recording or what, but just as she was recorded, you know, knowing she's paralyzed, can do very little for herself. And the testimony that she has, the radiance that you can feel from her words as she expresses, even in her inability to take care of herself, how that she praises God and she sees the goodness of God in the midst of her trial. It's a challenge. It really speaks loud when you listen to that. And she knows where she's at. I believe she understands her faith in God and that it is real. 1 Peter 1:23, it tells us, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. It's that word that we are born again through. Thinking of testimony again, I'm going to read a few verses out of Psalm 119. These are some various verses. That talk about the Word of God in different ways. Verse 130, it says, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. I opened my mouth and panted, for I long for thy commandments. That's in verse 31. Verse 33, order my steps in thy word. Verse 138, thy testimonies that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. And verse 140, thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. Again, as I thought about the writer, what was he experiencing as he was going? And if you read all those verses in between there, again, it's a heart of praise and worship to God, their maker, and understanding who God is, how great God is, how good God is, regardless of the circumstances they were in. Some of you sitting here are sitting in circumstances that we would say are critical, or you don't know and what the future holds. But in the midst of that, I want to encourage you that you can have joy, you can have faith in God, that God understands and God knows where you're at. And God's good will is still for your good as well. Psalm 119:105, it says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. You're dropping down to the verse 9 there. It talks about the fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. How that the word of God is a lamp. It lights, it shines. I think in the Amplified I read it, it gives a word, it's radiant. And when I think of something radiating, a heater, it radiates heat out so you can feel the warmth. When a light bulb is on, it radiates light out so you can see. That's what God's word does. It radiates light out to us so that we can understand, we can see God clear. And it talks about, this writer talks, he desires God's word more than gold or honey. Job had something to say about that in Job 23:12. He says, neither have I gone back from the commandments of... Neither have I gone back from the commandments of his lips. I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. When's the last time that you skipped a meal so that you could read God's word? Just a challenge for us to think about. We spend a lot of time in searching for gold. Not really gold. Our gold is green, paper, decaying. But same thing. It buys the things we need or things we want. We work hard. I don't know what the amount of years, an amount of time, if you were to put it in time, if you figured it out in a person's lifetime, how much time we spent working to earn money versus the times that we would spend in God's word, in worshiping God. It would be interesting. And I think as we get older, we think more about those things because we have less time to do those things. So we need to think about that. How important, how close, how desirable, how awesome is God's word to me and to you. Then in the last verse he talks about, moreover by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. You know, some people might look at that and say, oh, it's warning me of, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to face that. I want to do what I want to do. But to the Christian, to the believer, to the one that holds God's word high, we can look at that and we can, it's precious to us because we want to be warned ahead of time. We don't want to come to judgment and face any surprises. But God's word will warn us and will tell us. And if we do them, it says there's a great reward. I think we've all experienced enough in our lives that we know that. So a few verses in closing just to help us in that, in what the Word of God does in giving us encouragement, to giving us light and so on. John 6:63, it says, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Those are words that Jesus talked about as well. They give life. The Word of God gives life and light. Another one is in Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. And in Romans 15:4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. You and I, and all people really, as we live in this world, as you look at the world situation, without God, there isn't much hope. There's not much good, positive things to look at. But when we consider God in all that, God is greater, and God gives us hope. Our hope is in God, not in things. And I know that there's a lot of times that we go through things and we sort of become confused because we don't understand. We don't see clearly. We can't see the reason. We don't understand what's going on. Whether it's physical, spiritual, or whether it's in relational or whatever it is. And sometimes we look to the wrong sources for our answers. And by doing so, many times it brings confusion. And sometimes I think that's where we are. We spend too much time in confusion rather than spending time in God's word, which is clear. And it says I was looking for somewhere in Hebrews, but 1 Corinthians 14:33, it tells us a very familiar verse, "For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints." And so, if you're confused, if I'm confused, it's because I haven't totally relied upon God and His Word, and that His Word is truth, and that I will bank on God's Word, regardless of the evidence around us. Remember, God is not the author of confusion. Psalm 71:1, it says, "In Thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion." Again, I think that's a prayer that each one of us should pray. Is that, and I don't know, I didn't look if that was David or not. Confusion isn't a good place to be. It's a place of turmoil and uncertainty. And I realize sometimes life seems that way, but when God is there, things should be clear and open. James 3:16 says, "For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." Usually that's what happens. When there's confusion, there's strife, there's envy. There's another verse that talks about that as well. It names the different sins that are prevalent. And so confusion brings that because we're uncertain, we don't know. But when we rely upon God's Word, confusion goes away because God is light. And God will always be light, and God will give us a light. His Word will be as a light to our feet, will guide us in our path. It won't lead us astray. It won't lead us over the edge. It will show us those soft spots along the trail that's very narrow and is very treacherous, those rocks that we might stumble on. His Word will point those out to us, and we can see them. We can step over them on solid, sure footing and continue our journey. My prayer is that as you look at God's Word, that you will view it as God's Word, and that God gave that to you. He gave it to me to keep us and to guide us on our journey through this life so that we don't slip when we don't fall. Satan would love to, and he does. I would say Satan is the author of confusion. He is the author of darkness. But where the light is, the darkness cannot be. Remember that. Roland, do we have a closing song? Number 209 in the hymnary. When you find that, you can stand. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are again grateful for your presence, and we're grateful for who you are. We know and we believe that you are the only true God, the Creator God, that made heaven and earth and everything therein. Thank you for that. Thank you for your Word that tells us that. And God, we believe it. And so, Father, help us today as we consider, as we read, as we study, that we would embrace your Word as being more precious than silver or gold or even honey, and that it would taste better than honey to us. God, I pray that you would give us a spirit of hunger and thirst to follow after righteousness, which your Word tells us about. I pray for those, if there's anyone that may be struggling today, I pray that God, your Holy Spirit through your Word would bring them stability and courage and guidance and direction. Thank you, God, for providing your Word for us, that we can read it. Thank you for the freedom this country allows us to have it, to carry it, to hold it. Thank you. I pray that you would help us that we would carry it with honor, and that our lives would show that we love your word. And so I pray a blessing on each person as we separate, as we go our ways. May you go with us. May your Holy Spirit lead us and keep us in your love. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we sing?